This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
This is Pastor Jonathan McLean welcoming you to join us today for worship at Abundant Life Ministries. We are currently meeting in a new location in Wedgwood Commons Shopping Center. Address is 3204A Southeast Federal Highway in Stuart, Florida. Join us as we go to part two of a message. It was started last week. This message is entitled, The Law of the Spirit of Life Gives Freedom.
I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and when it's ready, when everything is ready, I will come and get you, receive you. I will come and receive you. I'm standing in a home in Port St. Lucie, and I'm looking at Charles. Charles is in a recliner. And across from Charles is a big picture window. And outside and beyond that, across the street, is nothing but woods. Charles had been told he was going to die years before, but Charles walked around with a big faith Bible. But Charles walked around full of faith. It wasn't the size of the Bible. It wasn't the kind of the Bible. It was that God was in him and alive in him. And the law of death was not alive, but the spirit of life and liberty was alive in him. And Charles, that Sunday before this visit, a Sunday he came through the door. Charles was working with Rangers. Charles was there on that Sunday morning, and he came and gave me a hug, and I felt like I was hugging a bag of bones. I said, Charles, how are you this morning? With a big smile, he said, I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm full of Father's life. I am healed and I am whole in Jesus' name. Oh, his doctors thought he was insane. Charles, you're a dead man. You're on borrowed time. You've been dead for years. Charles, you can't go anywhere. You need to be in bed. Charles said, I will not be in bed. I will do anything the Father has given me to do. I am alive in Jesus' name. I'm full of His life. I'm talking to Charles, and Charles said, Pastor, I have a question. I said, what's your question? He said, you know, I'm sitting here reading the Word, and I'm worshiping God, and I've seen Jesus out there over that forested area. I see Jesus, and his hands are spread out, and he's getting closer. Do you have any idea of what that might mean? Charles, when did this happen? Well, it's just kind of happened this week. But I'll be here, and it seems that I'm just caught up in the presence of God, and there's no pain. It's as if I'm already home. It's as if I'm already there. There's no pain, Pastor, and I'm just being held, and yet I see Jesus. I see He's coming. He's coming. What does this mean? I said, Charles, you know what it means. But Pastor, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say it. I said, well, let's read it. It's right here. It's right here in this passage. If I go and prepare a place for you, I know I'm quoting from the King James. You're catching me, aren't you? Then I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so I read it, and Charles said, yes, yes, I know. He's coming. I said to Cheryl, his wife, I said, Cheryl, you know, you and Charles, please, please call me immediately if anything changes. There, so later I got a call, and things had changed a little because Charles, he's now laying on the couch this day. He's sitting up on the couch, and he can see out the same window. He says, Cheryl, Jesus is getting closer today. He's coming, coming, coming. Should I call Pastor Charles? Not yet, not yet, not yet. But he's coming closer. How about now, Charles? Should I call Pastor? Not yet, not yet. He's getting closer. And then eventually he said, call Pastor, because Jesus is getting closer. I'm sorry I didn't get there quickly enough. Cheryl said, Charles was laying on his pillows, sort of propped up on the couch. And he said, oh, Jesus is almost here. What do you see, Charles? I see Jesus' hands are raised, and he's coming, he's coming, and his hands are reaching out. And then he said, Cheryl, Jesus is here. And he said, Jesus, and set up with his hands raised to embrace one who gave his life for him and fell back onto the couch. His face was aglow. His hands fell as they were as this clay house was released, and his spirit was embraced and brought into the very presence of God. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I've heard all through my life people use these words, the Lord took him, took her. Let me say this, if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, Christ is in you, when you step from the mortal to the immortal, Christ will take you and receive you. But now I'm going to say the hot potato. Don't get mad. Stick with me. And let the Word of God bring some insight. If you're watching, before you get too angry and you want to judge the theology, I want you to listen to what God says as we look in His Word. Yes, I believe that night when I sat next to my mama's bed and I told my wife, honey, I believe tonight's the night. I need to stay with her all night. I want to stay right here. Mom had had Alzheimer's for 10 years. She didn't remember me. I'd show her my driver's license and I'd say, Mom, do you recognize that person? Oh, well, what's the name? Oh, Jonathan McLean. Do you know who that is? Sounds familiar. Let me tell you, there was a name that she never lost. It was the name of Jesus. I would come in and catch Mom in prayer, and Mom would be praying for her oldest daughter, my sister Linda. She would pray for my brother, next in line, Larry. She'd pray for Larry. Then she would pray for Jonathan. Then she'd pray for Jama. Oh, she couldn't account a change, but she could count the kids from the first right through and then down to Jama, number 5. And as I had heard Mom so many times throughout my life, Mom would pray this prayer. God, you didn't give me one child to populate hell. Every one of my children are going to populate heaven. And I claim them for the kingdom of God. This was Mom's prayer. And I remember one day in particular when I came and I walked up to the door and I heard Mama praying and I said, oh, same thing I heard when I was 5 years old and 10 years old and 20 years old. Same powerful intercession for her family, for missionaries, for the nation. Same power. And I stood outside the door and I watched as 30 minutes went by and Mom was still praying. How many of you know Mom didn't learn to pray like that after Alzheimer's? She learned to pray like that before. Clock moved on, 45 minutes, 1 hour. And I planned on spending an hour with Mom, and I spent an hour outside the door, and after an hour, Mom had not slowed down and was still praying. And I had prayed along with Mom, but I was outside. Finally, I slipped away that night and Mom was still in prayer. But this particular night, God said, you need to be there tonight. So I was there and I was sitting next to Mom. She was right next to me. And we were, I say we were because her mouth wasn't moving, but we had spent so many evenings singing out of the songbook together. Mom had a wonderful alto voice, and we would sing together, and we would sing songs about heaven, and we would sing songs about bringing in the sheaves, and we would sing songs about a house or a cottage, why should I care, he's building a mansion for me over there, and we would sing these songs, and I would sit there with Mom, and I'm singing with Mom, and somehow I know that Mom is in her spirit hearing, and then all of a sudden there was this presence of God that came. I didn't see a thing. But I looked down at Mom and her face was like a glow. I hope you've experienced this. When Jesus receives his own, Mom with Alzheimer's, no pain, not conscious of anything. But Mom instantly was in the presence of God. And I watched, and from the glow, within minutes, her countenance just changed and went almost gray. And I said, Father, it's such a holy and precious thing to see the righteous step from temporal life into everlasting life. Yes, I hear these words. God took them. Go with me to Genesis chapter 5. Is it okay with you if I show you where God took someone. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5 is an amazing chapter because this chapter, it lays out a historical record of several key individuals and how long they lived. For example, you look into verse 3. When Adam was 130 years old, his son Seth was born. And Seth was the very image of his father. After the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years. I read that and say that's a long time. But then verse 5 said he died at the age of 930. This is Genesis chapter 5. It gives us a chronicle of how things were before the flood. Oh, there's all kinds of different theories that when the flood came, that there was this water canopy that was over the earth, that when the heavens released all the water and when the depths released the water and when the entirety of the earth was covered, that there was this shield that blocked all the radiation over the earth, that everyone lived with this great protection, and that before sin on the planet, there were no other hindrances that would limit life. And so life was long. Many different theories, but the point is this, that when God made us, He didn't make us to experience death. He made us to live. Yes, He designed our bodies in an amazing way to where they would, by creative design, heal, regeneration of cells, that there would be a miraculous working within God's creative design of health and life. And Adam lived 930 years, and then, you know, it goes through this list of Enosh. Verse 11, he died at the age of 905. That's kind of a long life, right? Kenan, verse 12, it says that Kenan lived another 840 years after his child. He died at the age of 910. You can say, that's a pretty long life. Mahalalel, he lived 830 years. He died at he lived and then he had other sons and daughters. He lived 895 years, it tells us, verse 17. Talks about Jared in verse 18, 162 years old. His son Enoch was born. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years and he had other sons and daughters. He died at 962, well, that's a pretty long life. And now we come to what I wanted you to see. This is the only scripture that I know of that clearly says God took him. God took Enoch. When Enoch was 65 years old, his son Methuselah was born. You remember him? The oldest man that would live. But Enoch lived another 300 years in close fellowship with God. And he had other sons and daughters. And Enoch lived, how many years? 365 years in all. In all, he lived 365 years. He enjoyed a close relationship with God throughout his life, his entire life. Then, suddenly, he disappeared. What happened to Enoch? He was just in the room. What happened to Enoch? He's a kid. He's only 365 years. Where did he go? What did he do? What happened to him? We have no other record like this. Enoch, he's a young man. He's in his prime. He's almost old enough to have kids, right? I mean, looking at this, you have to look at the... See, people that don't read the Word of God, they don't get all of this, but this is in the Word of God. Then suddenly he disappeared because God took him. Let me say something. This is the hot potato. When someone says God took him, sometimes what they're actually saying is God killed him. Pastor, you can't say that. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't say that, or maybe I should. If the circumstances in someone's life is such that we may understand, may not understand, maybe it was an accident, maybe it was not, maybe it was self-induced, maybe it was not, maybe it was a horrific attack, maybe it was war, maybe it was whatever the circumstance. Sometimes when people say God took him, what they're saying is because God's sovereign, the individual had no personal participation in the timing of their death. I want you to know that God can take. Remember what Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Let me tell you, God is sovereign. Anything in accordance with His will and His character, God can do. I'm not in charge of that. I'm not judging God. But I want to just say this, because this morning we're not going to finish with this, but I'm going to open the door and we're going to look at this some more. I believe we should honestly understand that some individuals' lives are shortened because of personal decisions that are made. I believe some individuals' lives are shortened because of mental illness and medication, who are simply not able to manage their life any longer. I believe some individuals' lives are taken because they recklessly, dangerously pursue danger. And they put themselves in such a place where they always have to have some kind of a physical high. Fortunately, as a pastor, I've been in so many painful situations with many of you and many others, and I've been there at these times where there's not a page in a scripture that defines it and explains exactly what has happened or why it's happened. But let me tell you, there's a better answer than simply saying God took them. It's a better answer than that. Are y'all still with me this morning? This is something that maybe nobody wants to think about. Maybe my brothers in ministry, maybe this would be controversial. Maybe, I don't remember ever having a discussion like this in college or in any of the seminars I've ever went to. I don't remember any of the leaders ever addressing these kinds of things. But let me tell you something, inside of every one of your minds, the enemy will come and he will say to you, how can you trust God? Because look at what happened to this person. Look at what came upon that one. Look at this serious disease. Look at this. Look at that. And what makes you better or different than them? Let me say this, we're never going to have answers to all these questions, but I believe there are some answers to some of these questions. And I believe these answers will bring faith and strength to you. Let me mention a couple things. When just a little over a year ago, my wife and I, we were in North Carolina, and I finally agreed, realizing I had hours to live, that I would go to ER, and in ER they would, after 3 hours, tell me that I was full of COVID pneumonia, both lungs, and that there was nothing they could do, and sent me home to die. Okay, a decision took us to the hospital, right? I mean, we made a decision. I could have just stayed in the house. Many people were calling, encouraging, you've got to do this. So we went, you know, and then they sent me home, literally to die. That was it. We can't help you. And while we were headed back up to our little place on the mountain, up to this point, there hadn't been a lot of clarity. I had peace to go to the hospital that morning, but there hadn't been a lot of direction or a lot of clarity. But at this time, immediately, my friend, the doctor, came to mind. And now I'm able to whisper. That's about all I can do. I could just kind of whisper to my wife. And I said, what do you think about calling doctor? And I'm not going to put his name on air, but what do you think about me calling him? Longtime friend, he delivered our son. And she agreed. So I made the call, and I remember just asking him, is there anything that can be done? See, what I was doing is I was questioning that the assignment of death that was plaguing me, I was questioning whether this was God's timing, sunshine. Is there anything else that can be done? And honey, you heard the doctor. I'm barely able to whisper on the phone. And his answer was, absolutely. She heard it. It wasn't on speakerphone. She hears the doctor, absolutely.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.